It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Well, is this going to be a big Donald Trump day, or is this whole thing smoke and mirrors? And, of course, the former president is preparing to be indicted by the Democratic District Attorney of Manhattan, Alvin Bragg. And this is the big thing here today in terms of politics. Even some of Trump's staunchest critics are slamming this indictment as partisan politics. And it's been learned in the last 24 hours that this relatively new New York District Attorney, Alvin Bragg, didn't even want to file these charges anyway. That's from his lips. He didn't want to go with this anyway. He thought it was flimsy. Thought it would make him look bad. But as soon as Donald Trump said, "I'm running for president," as soon as the numbers got strong, the pressure went on Bragg from the machine and George Soros, and the rest is history, if indeed it happens. You know, we've got individuals like Andrew McCarthy. Who's Andrew McCarthy? Well, he's a former chief assistant U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, pro-Democrat, big-time liberal, self-admitted. He's an ardent anti-Trumper. Over the weekend, he blasted Bragg's case against the former president as nonsense. Blatantly, he says this was an exercise in raw power. Now, the same, you know, strong Democrat and former U.S. attorney also said, and I'll quote him now, rather than making you wait for the context of the show, "This is a classic, invidious, selective prosecution. It's being launched strictly for political purposes." That is somebody who hates Donald Trump talking about what Alvin Bragg has done. But listen to me. This is important. I want to tell you how a Trump indictment could really trip up Biden and the Democrats before, and I say before, the 2024 battle. Okay? Jim Jordan has got a good point. But it's a little mysterious if you don't know where he's going with it. Did the Manhattan DA throw this investigation on Trump and this potential indictment because of the Mueller special counsel probe? And why would that old probe be an issue? What do we make of that? Stand by. You're all educated. You're politically savvy. You know how a Trump indictment would be unprecedented in U.S. history. It's never happened before, with a former president being arrested for what is amounting to be nothing more than a bookkeeping error. But to celebrate this space in history, the NYPD has been instructed to dress in full uniform, full dress uniform, and to prepare for a possible Trump indictment and arrest. Let me tell you how the whole thing works in New York. Usually, the police department there, it takes some detectives to do the arresting. But this time, the chief or who was ever in charge of this whole dog and pony show wants them to look real pretty. So because of the nature of the case, detectives might be bearing those papers of the pending arrest, and they usually dress in plain clothes. But they've been expected, and they've been told, they've been ordered to wear full-dress NYPD uniforms to look pretty for the cameras. There are security plans in place with the NYPD and the Secret Service. The two agencies got together yesterday to discuss logistics, including, you know, court security, and how Trump would potentially be arrested, how that would look, how that would feel. You know, I'm surprised they haven't had a dress rehearsal with a Trump stand-in look-alike stunt guy, you know. But what has that done for the House Republicans? First off, I don't think anything's going to explode. I don't think there are going to be riots and bottle throwers and all that if this, you know, goes down. I just, that's a gut, you know. But the Republicans, they seem undaunted. They're meeting for their annual conference to tout their legislative wins. And this potential act against Donald Trump doesn't seem to be taking the wind out of their sails. And even when, you know, we have somebody like good old Iron Mike Tyson, you know, not the the best guy in the world, but he is defending Donald Trump beyond the beyond, saying he should not go to jail. And I do agree with the New York representative, Elise Stefanik. I really like her. I think she's a shining star in the party. Met her the last time I was in Washington at the invitation and behest of Mr. Trump, and I spent some significant time with her. Her and Liz Cheney, go figure. And, yeah, they were like buds at the time. And she's saying Alvin Bragg, the DA in Manhattan, absolutely must testify under oath before Congress. And she's the House Republican Conference chairwoman. And I agree that we need to hear from Bragg. Where is this coming from? Where is this coming from? How did these, you know, charges evolve? Who's paying for all this, if anybody, you know? And I remind you again, there are individuals in public service who do not like, you know, Donald Trump. I've already told you one. I'm going to share others with you. They've been very critical of Alvin Bragg for these charges. Now, whew, take a breath, Ray. Here in California, something to talk about this afternoon with Steve Hilton from The Next Revolution on Fox News and also the Steve Hilton podcast. And, of course, we'll talk to, you know, Steve about what's going on with Donald Trump. For sure, for sure. High-speed rail. High-speed rail in California has a brand-new price tag. And for what? What's the price tag for? How much is that new price tag, Mr. Appleton? It's $128 billion. That is a far cry from what you voted on. Oh, my Lord. $128 billion. And again, I have to say, for what? So Steve Hilton joining us around 1 o'clock today on KMJ. And, California, again, in the news. There's all kinds of California stuff today. So we're going to be all over it. Something else to talk about with Steve this afternoon. And that is going to be the legislature considering 36 brand new taxes. Brand new taxes on what? What are they going to be going after now? Brand new taxes and fees. And if you hang around, you're going to find out. You know, this proposed budget of almost $297 billion is, you know, there's a shortfall in there of $22.5 billion. And that shortfall can climb by $7 billion if something is not done about something in the very near future. This could look very, very ugly for this governor, you know, who wants to be president. So that would be what? That's going to be like a $29, $30 billion shortfall? That's kind of ugly. I don't care who's in charge of the, Sacramento legislature. That's not going to look good for anybody. Nope. Also here in California, we have an apocalypse, a retail business apocalypse. Multiple businesses, many of them, are getting ready to close. A lot of them. Why? Does it have to do strictly with inflation? Are there other things going on? I mean, if you're in retail, you know exactly how ugly this is. I have a couple of clients here at KMJ that I endorse and I work with on, you know, every ounce of their marketing, and they're having big trouble. These are companies that typically have done extremely well, and then out of the blue, crash and burn. Kind of sad. And let's talk about fentanyl. That's in the news every damn day of the week. Fentanyl mixed with animal sedatives have been found in 48 states. This stuff has made it all the way through the country. It starts in China, where it's manufactured. It makes its way to the Mexican cartels. And by the way, thank you, Mr. Biden, if anybody does not believe the cartels have organizational control of the borders, you better go out and read a book, read a newspaper, listen to a newscast, talk to anybody in borderland enforcement. This is the worst it has ever, ever been. And there was a big showdown with the White House press corps the other day, and there was press briefing room at the White House. It was yesterday. There was a reporter from an African-focused outlet accusing the press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, of making a mockery of the First Amendment and racism. Jean-Pierre stepped up to the, you know, the podium in the briefing room, followed by the cast of the Apple TV series called Ted Lasso. I love that show, by the way. Are you watching that? That's a good one. The actor that plays Ted Lasso is visiting the White House to talk to the president, ostensibly about mental health issues. But just as soon as Jean-Pierre took the stage, she was pelted with accusations for discrimination. And that was from Today's News Africa correspondent, Simon Atabo. Now, what did this woman, who's also an African-American, do to this African reporter for this guy to start talking about First Amendment stuff and racism and discrimination and bias and this and that? Hang in and we'll tell you. And yesterday was a question about whether Joe Biden was going to release this statement about classified information, the intelligence on the origin of COVID-19. We have the answer from the Biden administration, and we'll tell you about that pretty soon. And what else? The banks. We've got to talk about the banks. There's more going on with the banks, and that makes me real nervous to talk about that one. And holy Moses, do we have to say anything today about United Flight 23? The pilot of United Flight 23 was convinced his was the fifth plane back on 9/11. Why has he been so quiet so long? What does he know? What is he talking about? Why is this whole thing coming up now? So there it is. I mean, I've just barely scratched the surface. We have a lot to do today. and the phone numbers for the Ray Appleton program with Steve Hilton at 1 o'clock this afternoon, 490-5858, and the toll-free number from anywhere, whether you're here in California or listening online in Texas or Ohio or Kentucky or Tennessee. Those are kind of the hot spots. 800-776-5858. We will continue right after we pay the bills on KMJ.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
The Ray Appleton Podcast.
Ray Appleton. Now.
Right now.
Click the podcast page.
KMJNow.com.
Okay, there may be a continuance of a White House briefing on the Xi Putin visit and everything that's going on in Moscow. And if that's the case, we might pop to it and do a little eavesdropping. But this is the day so many have waited for to arrest Donald Trump. You know, so as the former president is preparing to be indicted by the Democratic District Attorney, Alvin Bragg, we've learned a couple of things. In the last 24 hours, it's been said he didn't want to do this in the first place. He thought the case was flimsy. He thought it would make him look bad. He thought it would make the Manhattan DA's office look extremely partisan. And then Trump says, I'm going to run for president. His numbers are very strong. George Soros gets involved, who is, you know, funding a lot of this stuff that this guy's doing, and says, no, you got to do this. You got to go after him. So even with that, you know, he fired it up, he being the district attorney, and some of his critics, normally allied with that district attorney, but now some of Trump's critics are slamming the indictment as partisan politics. I mentioned this in the monologue, but to further elaborate, it's Andrew McCarthy, who I talked about. He's a former chief assistant U.S. attorney for the Southern District in New York. He's never been a fan of Donald Trump. As he says, in any way, shape, or form, over the weekend, he did blast Bragg's case against the former president that he does not like as nonsense and blatantly partisan, a blatantly partisan exercise of raw power. This is a classic, invidious selective prosecution. It's being launched strictly for political purposes. It's hard to think of anything at all that will rile up Trump's base even more and anger other Republicans who, regardless of their distaste for Trump, will find the maneuver despicable. Despicable. The exact words of Andrew McCarthy, former chief assistant U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, an ardent anti-Trumper and Democrat. Alan Dershowitz, no fan of Donald Trump, but has slammed the politicized investigations and impeachments of the former president. He recently said, all decent people, whether politically opposed to Mr. Trump, as I am, or supportive of his candidacy, should be concerned about this weaponizing of the prosecutor's office for the political purpose of preventing a potential candidate for running for office. Yeah, even some of the president's potential 2024 rivals are calling the potential indictment political persecution. Mike Pence, vice president. He's distanced himself from the former president, but he said in an exclusive interview, it reeks of the kind of political prosecution that we endured back in the days of the Russia hoax and the whole impeachment over a phone call. He also slammed a seemingly, you know, ugly system of two-tiered justice, if I can say that, saying there seems to be only one standard for Republicans. Again, this is Mike Pence. Particularly anybody ever associated with the Trump-Pence administration and others. Governor Chris Sununu, Republican, New Hampshire. A potential 2024 contender himself said Sunday on CNN's State of the Union that he was having coffee earlier with some folks. None of them were big Trump supporters, quoting him, who all said, you know, they felt like he was being kind of attacked. Entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy, one of the actual declared 2024 candidates, also criticized the pending indictment. A Trump indictment would be a national disaster. It is as un-American for the ruling party to use political power to arrest political rivals. This is as ugly as it can be. He wrote that in a tweet. So a Trump indictment would be a national disaster, so says the young man with a lot of money. If it's, you know, a Republican prosecutor in 2004, for example, had used campaign finance technicalities to arrest John Kerry while Bush and Cheney were in, all hell would have broken loose, so saith Ramaswamy. Ron DeSantis, you know him, right? top 2024 rival to Donald Trump, finally weighed in on this yesterday, slamming Bragg as another one of the Soros-funded prosecutors who weaponized their office to impose a political agenda on society at the expense of the rule of law and public safety. Good one. Good one. Chris Christie, let's get him in here. Former governor, New Jersey. Another Trump critic who actually worked for Donald Trump for a bit, said an indictment would rally sympathy to Trump in the short term. He only profits, and he does well in chaos and turmoil. He said that Sunday. When is the other side going to figure out that when things are breaking up and breaking down around Donald Trump, this is when he excels? This is when people come to his side. I already told you what, you know, Andrew McCarthy said. And he also went along with this whole thing about, you know, getting elected. Such an indictment materially increases the chance that the Republicans will nominate Trump. Exactly the outcome that, you know, my Democratic Party and the media crave. Elon Musk told you yesterday. Elon Musk, who voted for Biden in 2020, who's been very critical of Donald Trump, said he believed an indictment would actually lead to him being reelected in a landslide. He tweeted exactly that. If the former president is indicted, quote, Trump will be reelected in a landslide. Elon Musk. Trump said in Truth Social over the weekend that he believes he will be indicted by, you know, sometime this week by Bragg. Legal experts, let's call upon them. Enter and sign in, please. They expect Bragg to bring charges of falsifying business records against Trump. The charges that, you know, those records were falsified by Trump, which is a misdemeanor. It can be upgraded to a felony if it was done to hide another crime. Legal experts expect the other crime to be the alleged campaign violations, although that's about as thin can be. They expect that Bragg to argue that the Trump Organization falsified business records when it paid the then-Trump lawyer, Michael Cohen, $130,000 to give to you-know-who, Stormy Daniels, and it was classified as legal expenses when it was, you know, there to reimburse a payment that Cohen made to the porn actress Stormy Daniels as hush money before Trump launched the 2016 campaign. I wouldn't doubt it for a moment if, and this is where the story was bent the other day by Cohen himself, and remember, I know Cohen. He stayed in my home. We had dinner. He's been in the KMJ studios a million times. I liked him then. I mean, now it was just no, thank you. I mean, he's a liar. He's an absolute liar. It wouldn't be surprising to me at all if this $120,000, $130,000 increment came out of Cohen's pocket to pay Stormy Daniels as something that he did. And he's pinning that off on Trump to make it look like the president did. And, the president went ahead and said, cleared the expenses so, you know, Cohen could recoup. I mean, that's a little chunky, but, I mean, something like that I thoroughly expect could have happened. But Bragg is expected to argue that the payment was actually a campaign expense, and Trump's campaign violated campaign finance regulations by not characterizing it as such. Okay, well then, so what? That's still a misdemeanor. However, the Federal Elections Commission, let's note, declined to penalize Trump over the issue. And the federal prosecutors have also declined to do so. So this is one man, backed by George Soros, leading the parade. Leading the parade. So, you know, what kind of an impact has it had on other Democrats? Excuse me, Republicans. And we'll get to this. This looming indictment overshadows this big celebration at the annual GOP conference, where they get together and they celebrate their legislative victories. This hasn't bothered them at all. At all. And something else to add to the BS swirling around this arrest. The NYPD, the detectives, have been told to dress in full uniform in preparation for this indictment. So they look real pretty on TV. Real pretty. Normally they wear street clothes. Now, you know, I guess it's the chief who wants them, you know, in full uniform. Detectives. Yeah. All right, phone calls. Let's see, do we have time for this? No, let's wait. Gaylene will be coming up with her dissertation on Donald Trump shortly on the KMJ Talk Lines. Other calls coming in right now, too, as we speak.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, right now.
Click the podcast page.
KMJNow.com.
It's free.
Now, Ray Appleton.
And please remember to check back around 12:30 for those tickets to see Stevie Nicks and Billy Joel, all right? All right. It's not a call-in contest. It's a texting contest. Phone calls now, though, to talk about this potential indictment against Donald Trump. Gaylene, of course. Hello.
Hi, good morning, Ray. You know what? If you would have told me 4 years ago, just a short 4 years ago, that I would be witnessing and watching the play out of the politics that happen in third world countries, I would not have believed you, because at the time, the United States was in such a strong place. And this morning, I wanted to remind you, I know that you will know, you know this, you know, Hillary Clinton, why is she not being pursued by this Manhattan DA? Because whenever she had Fusion GPS create a dossier for her political campaign, she happened to, how was it she classified that expense? Oh, yes, as a legal expense. And I think that was a little fancy bookkeeping, too. So if we're going after people for clerical errors, I say we haul them all in, because I don't think there's a one of us, probably myself included, that hasn't made a clerical error. This is such a political hit. It's appalling. That is the only word I can find for it. I don't care if it's Donald Trump. I don't care if it's Joe Biden. I don't care if it's the other side. Yeah, I'm a partisan. I admit it. I'm a partisan. I'm a conservative, and I'm a partisan when it comes to that. But I am not about this type of political hit job on people running for office. I say, put them out there. Let them run. Let us vote. Let the people decide. That was how the founders intended for this country to work. Instead of this maligning and... It's appalling. Words escape me.
I got you loud and clear. Thank you, Gaylene. It's upsetting to me, too, strictly because this thing is so thin. It's so, you can see right through it. It's obvious. And again, there are critics of Donald Trump who are all over Alvin Bragg saying, don't go there. Just don't go there. It's too flimsy. Joan, you're next. Hi.
Yeah, my comment is this. The Republicans have succumbed to the Democrat bait on this issue, just like they did to the president during the State of the Union message, State of the Union delivery. It doesn't matter what Republicans say about this. Everybody has a position on it. This is all about deciding who will be the Republican nominee in 2024. and the Democrats want to be Trump because they beat him once, and they're certain they can beat him again. I don't, nobody knows for sure because the election is so far away. But this is all 2024 politics.
I agree. Thank you. I mean, this unprecedented potential indictment of a former president could actually help this former president. You know, it's frequently panned campaign for the 2024 Republican nomination in the White House. It could help him immensely. This indictment is actually going to, I'll commit to it, it is going to trip up Biden and the Democrats before the fight even begins. The likelihood of this indictment, you know, by New York State and the grand jury stuff for paying the porn star Stormy Daniels 130 G's before the 2016 election in exchange for her silence, could really wind up costing Joe Biden the election and the Democrats any further, you know, positions and strategies they may have in 2024 in those contests. This is like a circular firing squad. You know, the possibility of Trump being indicted, alluding to the prospect of his arrest on social media, definitely, he says, can't hurt Biden, but, and that's a Democratic, you know, strategist, Stefan Hankin, if the other side is in the mood to have a circular firing squad and start shooting themselves in the foot, well, I'll offer a clean gun to them. However, it's the base that we're worried about. Well, you better be, you know. And he says, you know, if they start shooting at each other, this is a Democratic strategist again, Democrats risk exacerbating the perception of Trump's indictment, you know, as a behind-the-scenes power play by Biden because, you know, Trump is his strongest competitor. Agreed. You know, one unintended consequence is the longer, how do I want to put this? The longer Trump is a factor and sticks around, many would say the better it is for the Democrats, okay? But if he gets removed from the discussion of the Republican primary very early, then it's crystal clear he's going to be a non-factor. Again, this is a Democratic strategist speaking. I mean, he really won't commit to one side or the other on this. You can tell by his language he's very nervous. I don't know if that can be 100% happening, but let's just say it's not going to be ideal for the Democrats. In the big picture, if the news is the former president, the leading Republican primary contender, is indicted, and he's throwing bombs at some of his challengers or potential challengers, I don't really see a downside for the Democrats. But I've seen these things reverse before and blow up in everybody's face. Make up your mind. All right. So, you know, is Trump being indicted going to split the Republican candidates up? That might be. Those that are considering or announcing their own campaign, will they jump in quicker or will they back out completely? That could be. DeSantis, for instance, simultaneously criticized the Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, who would manage the Trump prosecution, and at the same time DeSantis criticized the former president. And frankly, that's what I would expect him to do. Quote, I don't know what goes into paying hush money to a porn star to secure silence over some type of alleged affair. I can't speak to that. It's Governor DeSantis speaking. But what I can speak to is if you have a prosecutor who is ignoring crimes happening every single day in his jurisdiction, and he chooses to go back many, many years and try to use something about a porn star to take money to be hushed up, that's an example of pursuing a political agenda and weaponizing the office. The 2024 field, you know, I mean, is declared and otherwise, once again has to contend with Trump being a master of making all things Trump. And that's exactly what he did in 2016. So DeSantis is, you know, obviously he sees through this too. And he wasn't really going to take Trump down with it because we've been talking about it too damned long. You know, and why they're going back now, all of a sudden, to make this an issue again. It's just crazy. I mean, I don't, and I love this thing about the detectives having to wear full dress uniforms in front of the cameras. I mean, what is that all about? We'll come back and we'll talk about that a little bit as we talk about the potential indictment and arrest of Donald Trump. 490-5858 for the Ray Appleton program. And 800-776-5858. Okay. This is KMJ.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, right now.
Click the podcast page.
KMJnow.com.
It's free.
Welcome back to the somewhat sunny KMJ campground, but that's all going to change. When I got up this morning, man, it looked like the biggest, ugliest storm was coming in, and my little hotel was going to blow away with me in it. But it didn't happen. Okay, where's the party? The New York Police Department officers have been told to wear their full dress uniforms starting at 7 a.m. today in anticipation of civil unrest and all kinds of camera possibilities ahead of this great possible indictment of the former president, Donald Trump. This is why I'm so, you know, mixed up on this whole thing, because they're treating this as if it were something absolutely huge. But when everybody gets down to it and admits on both sides, Republicans and Democrats, this is absolutely nothing. But the NYPD says even the detectives who usually dress in plain clothes, they're expected to wear their full NYPD uniforms and look pretty. In addition, the NYPD officers have put up a barricade around the criminal court building in Lower Manhattan, and hundreds of riot police officers have been mobilized, but they're looking pretty. Quote, we're doing what we always do. We're monitoring comments on social media, and the NYPD is doing their normal role of making sure there's no inappropriate actions in the city. And that is from the Democratic mayor, Eric Adams, he seems like a pretty straight guy for the most part. You know, New York police officers are, you know, moving things around in context with the Secret Service. They got together yesterday and made their plans, and they're holding Zoom meetings with other court officers and security officials to make sure every little angle is attended to, but everybody will show up and look real nice in their dress uniforms. Intelligence sources, they claim to see an uptick in violent online rhetoric on social media from domestic violence extremists, but it's unclear how big protests would be effective after the events of January the 6th, 2021. Those violent demonstrations at the Capitol led to more than, 1,000 arrests? Port Authority has also been, you know, made aware of the possibility of car caravans that could disrupt all kinds of rush hour traffic, including traffic in the bridges and the tunnels. That could be a mess, and it doesn't take that much to, you know, set them off. The NYPD officers will also hold monitoring stations, and there's also going to be, you know, a surge of flights coming into New York City, also boosting security at the airports and the bus terminals and the train terminals and any kind of transportation. And then you have to ask again, why is this really that big of a deal? But tension over a possible indictment reached an all-time high this week. You know, the tension followed up reports that the New York law enforcement has been gearing up in anticipation of Trump getting charged. And if an indictment is issued, I've told you it would be the first indictment ever issued against a former president. That seems to be the big deal that everybody's underscoring. It's the historical importance of this. Why? But Trump has urged his supporters to protest in downtown New York if he's arrested. He said on Saturday that he expected to be indicted by the grand jury on Tuesday, but it's not clear why he believes Tuesday will be the day of his arrest. If he is arrested, his arraignment would not likely follow until next week. And then what? Are they going to keep him in jail the whole time? I kind of doubt it. But we keep hearing unprecedented. First time in history, unprecedented. Okay, so what? This decision on whether to indict a former president over so-called hush money payments, I mean, that lies with a grand jury. And they've been hearing evidence in secret for weeks. So was this strictly their decision to go out and arrest the president? Apparently. But again, we're going to be reminded constantly, this is a first. It's never happened before. I mean, Trump has denied any wrongdoing and has slammed the Manhattan DA's office for being politically motivated, as have some of Trump's enemies. They feel the same way, as I've noted. But, you know, what's the probe really all about? You know, it's really all about making sure he's not in the presidency. But the grand jury's been probing Trump's involvement in this $130,000 payment, you know, made in 2016 to keep her from going public, her being Stormy Daniels, about a sexual encounter allegedly they had. And the Trump lawyer, Michael Cohen, who's done some time, paid Daniels, whose real name is Stephanie Clifford, in case you're taking notes. This was done through a shell company before being reimbursed by Trump. In the beginning, it looked like this was Trump money that was paid directly to her. We've since learned, and we've been able to verify, this was Cohen's money that came out of his pocket to pay young Stephanie Stormy. So, and then the Trump organization, you know, logged the reimbursement, you know, as legal expenses. Well, I mean, were they really aware of what Cohen had up his sleeve and what Cohen was doing? I don't know that that was ever made clear to the former president. But I'm becoming more and more certain of one thing. I really don't believe he gave the direct order for Michael Cohen to pay her $130,000. That's just me. That's just me. So we'll see where it goes. Well, you know, when this happens, we'll bring you any live activity that may be coming as a result of it. Earlier, I said I don't expect a lot of violence. I think the specter of what happened on January the 6th, 2021 is still, you know, wafting through our heads. I don't think anybody wants to go through that again. You know, and there's even kind of a legal question out there that some historical types are playing with. Can a former president be indicted? Well, in a word, yes, I believe so. I mean, a longstanding Justice Department policies prohibits federal indictments of a sitting president. But Trump, 2 years out of office, no longer, to my knowledge, enjoys that legal shield. And the New York case is not a federal probe anyway. It isn't. So, I mean, what is the grand jury all about? Who's on the grand jury? What questions did they have to answer? If we need to get into that in the next hour, we will. If not, we're going to move on with some California stuff because there's some very heavy things going on here, like a set of brand new taxes. Just what you want to hear, right? Also, retail businesses, many are getting ready to close. Here we go again. This is KMJ.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Sent me to rehab, though. So I mean, that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.